Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. It is officially Christmas Eve. For those of you listening, it may well be Christmas for you right now. If you've got nothing better to do on Christmas than listen to us, I am so sorry. But now, seriously, have a class Christmas. And we told you we would be here all winter, and despite my best efforts to get out of this episode, I am here.
He wanted to be here. He just didn't want to edit before Christmas.
Yeah, obviously now what you will notice if you're watching us on YouTube, and yes, we are back on YouTube. Thanks to everyone that commented. Like, it was good to see you back. It was also good to see you guys back commenting and getting involved. So yeah, thank you very much. But there's no wide angle today, okay? That is purely because I've been drunk for quite a while now, and I completely forgot to order the tripod. So I ordered it today thinking that we were filming tomorrow, even though I full well knew we were filming today. And yeah, that's basically it. So it's so complicated to set up, and the lighting is all over the place. Although this is a lot better.
It seems to be better.
But we need a tripod right there, slap bang in the center, to capture it, and that is just what we're lacking. So wide angle will be here next week. I'm sorry. I am clearly short on brain cells at the moment. I feel that way. I probably sound that way. Might even look that way a little bit. But wherever you are watching or listening, give us a 5-star rating. If you're on YouTube, that probably means something like liking the video, subscribing if you're new, and commenting, because I've always said comments are my favorite. You know, a subscriber is great, a like is great, but a comment is actively engaging, and we respect that. So yeah, audio, if you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating, because that really does make a difference. And we're keen to climb the charts in somewhere random like Uganda again. So we're ready, 2025.
Well, just quickly talking about YouTube, should we give a few shout outs to a few people who
Okay.
commented? So we're going to do this. If you comment on YouTube on our videos, if you're listening here on audio, go over to YouTube, drop a comment, okay? This one, Boom Blaster 4, glad to have you guys back on YouTube. The set looks great.
Yep, thank
Nice.
you.
Rhys Davis, 1196, been watching since the first YouTube vid and love the podcast. Thank you very much.
Wow, what a nice guy.
William F90, glad to see you back on YouTube. Chasnor2458, this is quality, very exciting. VJ98, I used to watch on YouTube and thought you disappeared out of nowhere.
We actually did. Like, we disappeared from YouTube out of nowhere because I don't think we ever, like, announced or even planned to just like not do YouTube.
Well, let's be perfectly honest. We had someone who edited our videos for us. He
Oh
then
yeah,
went
that
on to
was it,
better
wasn't it?
things. And then we just didn't have the time.
No, and now, to be fair, we're probably have even less time. But we're just gonna make it work, and we're gonna stick with it, and we are here, and hopefully we're gonna continue to grow on YouTube. We actually like we did gain a few subscribers as well from posting. So yeah, we will keep bringing you the content. We will keep bringing you winter F1 content, believe it or not. This might not be, an hour long, but what we're not gonna try and do during this winter break is draw blood from a stone. You
No.
know, we will turn up every week, give you the most entertaining content we can within whatever time period. That may be 2 hours, that may be 20 minutes. But we will be here every single week.
Right, before we get into it, I do want to actually hear from you guys. If you are watching this or listening on YouTube, DM us on Christmas Day, I mean, DM us and let us know, because I'm interested to see how many of you actually would listen to this. And if
Maybe
you are, fair play.
you've got a long drive somewhere. You know, I've
Yep.
got a 45-hour drive on Christmas Day.
45-hour drive.
No, it's 45 slash one, like 45 minutes. Imagine that.
45-hour drive.
Turn up like full beard,
You could listen to this
hairs
like
all growing out.
45 times.
Yeah, God.
Right.
I
So,
drive myself off a bridge.
it's not very nice. Right. So, since we last spoke, Perez is gone, Lawson is in, and Bottas is back at Mercedes. I mean, let's just quickly, we won't go in too much about it because we've done a few clips on it already, but Perez, I mean, I've said on here before, nobody, I don't like to see anyone lose their job. Luke says otherwise. But it's finally happened.
I could not believe that he kept his job for so long. And do you know what? What I actually found even more stupid was the comments that we were getting on these videos on particularly TikTok.
Yep.
He's got a contract. Oh, all these rumours. Why do you keep bringing this up? Because it was like they were so deluded. Number one, when has a contract ever mattered? When has a driver not gone because he's got a contract? It's just not happened.
Well, with Red Bull especially.
Exactly. What, do you think Pierre Gasly didn't have a contract? Alex Albon didn't have a contract? Kvyat, he had a contract? Like, do you know what I mean? They all go. And
oh, I still feel sorry for Kvyat.
Yeah, I mean that wasn't ideal. He, you know, he had his career stolen from him, his bird, I mean...
His daughter.
Yeah, it was just a, you know, that was
brutal.
A really tough time for him. But, ultimately, the right call by Red Bull. You know, Max didn't have to do what he did, but... it's just uncalled for, really. But the fact that Perez hung around for so long was incredible. But like I said, the thing that amazed me was I was rattled. I was biting at some of the fans. I had a few TikTok encounters.
Yeah, to be fair though, what's quite amusing is when we started this podcast, if someone commented negatively, you used to take the piss out of me because I used to like take it personally or bite back. You now bite back.
Not negatively, right? I will have in the comments debates about things in F1.
Yeah.
If someone was like, oh, look at these two like fucking idiots, like one of them's got like a weird long sort of pineapple looking head with a dodgy haircut and the other one the good looking one. No, but like when people like
insult... Did you ever feel bad saying that?
No. when people like insult us or say stupid things, but like when people give genuine F1 takes, like their F1 takes,
yeah,
not genuine, terrible, but that I don't mind engaging with, and some of them trigger me. Like the whole thing about them not getting rid of Perez because he had a contract was something that was particularly winding me up.
Yeah.
So I commented back. It's good for engagement. I don't, you know, anyone that engages with our video, unless they are just unnecessarily personally attacking us. Like, have you seen, you know, the one guy?
Our mate.
The one guy on Instagram who doesn't follow us, just comments, like, hate on every single post. And it's like, he's a generational hater. It's like, firstly, how are you seeing every single post? And they normally always involve posts about Lewis Hamilton. And there was one where it was like, oh, like, typical, a Lewis Hamilton fan has Lewis's win at Silverstone as his favourite moment of the season. And I'm just like, firstly, like, what's wrong with that anyway? Well, like, if that is my favourite moment of the season, like, what the hell is the problem? But then I think the funniest one was you then split that clip, didn't you? So you had one where I was speaking about my favourite moment.
And then I had mine, yeah.
Your one, you said Charles Leclerc. And he just said, a Lewis fan page choosing Lewis every time. I just replied like saying, we literally said Leclerc.
I guarantee you, though, what that guy did is he listened to the first 20 seconds where I said, normally I would pick Lewis Hamilton, but on this occasion, that's what he probably did.
Anyway, this guy's an idiot, but he comments on all of our posts and it's kind of funny, like it cracks me up. But then, do you know what the funniest thing was? This was the funniest thing. Because like, you start to build like attachments to people that like comment on your stuff all the time.
Yeah.
You know, normally it's with fans. You're like, oh, they're like a really nice fan. Like,
I mean, you've got a couple coming around for dinner, haven't you, on Boxing Day?
Do I?
Yeah.
No. You know, you have like fans where like you see like they constantly engage with your stuff or like they DM you. And like, there are, say like waffling fans that I engage with on like a regular basis. Like, I kind of got that with him. So I saw a clip of like another F1 podcast. And I clicked on it. And I was just going through their comments. I was like, hey, fuck off, he's cheating on us. He was sending hate to another F1 podcast. I thought that is bang out of order. Like, at least only hate us.
Did you message him and go, look, I can't believe you cheated on me.
No, because it was like from like a few weeks ago, so I didn't want to like
look like
I didn't want
stalking.
It look like I was stalking.
Wow, God, now you're a stalker.
But I wasn't stalking him. I was just, you know, I can't remember the name of the the podcast, but like, I think it was like an F3 driver talking maybe on the podcast. And yeah, he had just commented on it, like with hate. And I just thought, nah, that's out. You hate us, no one else. So that's my relationship with haters. And
Luke is really involved. Although I still like sending you random stuff. So we had an email the other day come into account. So we have our Racecast Gmail account. So if you want to go and check it out, link is in the description. Do send us some emails, whatever. Things come through. So just because Luke doesn't always see the emails, I just copy them and send them to him. What did you say the other day? Took the piss out of me because I sent you this one.
It was like some company, like a diffuser brand. Like, do you want to be an affiliate for us?
But it wasn't just a diffuser.
No, it was like, do you want to create content with our like diffuser or something?
And it wasn't just a diffuser. There was other stuff in the bottom. There was loads of other
equipment. And I was just like, what the fuck are we going to do with that? We get these really random emails, and like some of them, like you used to send me the ones that were so blatantly scams as well. Or like we'd get an email from a company, like a fake company trying to get your bank details, being like, oh, like there's an issue with your order. Like, and he'd be like, oh, did you order something?
Well, I thought you maybe.
It's just like, no, I would use my personal email address.
Right. Anyway, let's move on because this is just going to take the piss out of me. Right. Let's talk about Liam Lawson. He is now a Red Bull driver, and Helmut Marko explains why they went with Lawson over Tsunoda. So he said, with his mental strength, Lawson is one who is most likely to be able to hold his own alongside Max. Nobody can beat him at the moment anyway. He's talking about Max Verstappen. No one can beat him.
I've heard a lot about this in terms of the no one can beat him. Christian Horner basically openly said he's the number two. If you're Liam Lawson as a 22, 23 year old. Yeah. He's a young man. Are you not going into that thinking like, thanks? Like, surely you'd want your team principal to be like, look, we brought Lawson in because we think he's got the most amount of potential, and you know, he might be giving Max a hard time. You know, we're looking to the future. It's going to be very hard for him to go head to head with Max Verstappen. And this is also not me saying I think he's going to be able to. But if I was Liam Lawson, I'd be like, wow, thanks for just telling everyone like openly that you think I'm the number two driver, even though he is. And I know someone's going to comment saying like, what a stupid thing to say. He's going, I know. I'm just talking about from like the personal confidence side of things.
Well, we've said on the podcast many times, haven't we, that actually if you're an F1 driver, you go into it thinking you are going to be the best.
Well, yeah, he's not thinking I'm number two.
No. But I also think that for Liam Lawson, this is a major opportunity. So he is going to play the team player game initially while he gets himself settled. He knows with this Red Bull seat that actually not many drivers, actually no drivers since they've gone alongside Max Verstappen have succeeded. Mm-hmm. There isn't one. Gasly, Albon, none of these drivers have gone there and succeeded. So for Liam Lawson...
Well, Perez was probably his best teammate.
Okay, well, I mean by succeeded... challenged him and competed against him. I still personally don't think that is going to change come 2025. And there's two reasons for that. One, it's Max Verstappen, four-time world champion. He's just, as we've always said, there's two drivers on that grid who we think are just the elite, Lewis Hamilton, Max Verstappen. The other aspect of that is I don't think that Red Bull is going to be that good next year.
I hope so.
No, and I think the only way that's going to be, they're going to get performance out of that is because of Max Verstappen. And we've seen that this year. That Red Bull has been the second, third best car on the grid, and they've still managed to get the wins. I mean,
look, if that car isn't the best car on the grid, Max is going to be the person that enables it to win races. But there's a reason they've brought Liam Lawson in over, firstly, Checo. Yeah. You know, they've got rid of him. Firstly, over Tsunoda, and it's because they think he's clearly capable of extracting performance out of that car to the point where it's not going to be detrimental to their points tally in the constructors. But I do think Liam Lawson is going to be closer to Max than a lot of us think. I don't think the you know, we've got to remember that in racing, even a tenth a lap is like a lot of time. But if you take a tenth compared to the difference between Max and Checo, all of a sudden that's a lot closer than what we've had this season for Max and his teammate. And I'm not saying it's going to be, you know, on average a tenth a lap difference, but I do think we will see Lawson beat him at some tracks. Max is going to, over the course of the season, you know, with lack of a better way to put it, wipe the floor with him. But I think, like we saw with Perez, very occasionally there was a track where
it was more suited to Checo than...
I think we will see that from Lawson this season. I don't think Max is going to beat him everywhere.
No. Well, Helmut Marko said, due to Lawson's limited Grand Prix experience, we also see the greatest potential for further development in him. So these were all the factors that took place in when they were deciding what driver they were going to bring in. Helmut Marko also said that for Tsunoda, his speed is undisputed, but he lacks a certain consistency, and he is also a very emotional driver. I mean, I think that's really harsh on Tsunoda. I think it's, as a driver, it shows character, being emotional. It shows you a passion, your drive to...
Sorry, but Max Verstappen is one of the most emotional drivers on the grid in terms of getting heated. Mm. You know, Yuki's not behind the wheel, like, crying.
No.
He gets angry. Max gets angry. We've seen Lawson get angry. Yeah. You know, Lawson officially came into the sport about 4 months ago or whatever it was. And he argued with the person who he's, like, heated arguments, with the person he's just taken his seat from. Two-time world champion Fernando Alonso, you know, Lawson's been in a lot of heated battles, and he's only been in the sport less than half a year.
Mm.
So I think to use temperament as a reason for why Yuki didn't get the seat is a little harsh, because, yeah, okay, Yuki Tsunoda from 2021, yeah, the guy can control his emotions, and but I think Yuki's very different now.
Yuki, for me, and we've said on the podcast many times, I think Yuki has matured really well. I like the fact he still has that passion, that frustration which you get over the radio. I like that in a driver. I think that's always important to have. But for Yuki, he's beaten every teammate that he's come in contact with.
Yeah.
Danny Ric.
Even Lawson.
So questioning Yuki Tsunoda's temperament and his emotions, I think, is a very cop-out response from Helmut Marko and Red Bull.
Well, I'm also just looking, like, the age difference. If we talk about potential, the age difference between the two is 2 years.
Mm.
But yeah. Yuki Tsunoda's got, what, 3 years, 4 years worth of Grand Prix experience.
Well, Helmut Marko said, for Yuki Tsunoda, he is now the spearhead for the Racing Bulls. And if you're Yuki Tsunoda...
There's nothing in that.
No. If you're Yuki Tsunoda, that's an insult. Because you've done everything you can in that RB to, you know, in AlphaTauri, RB, whatever, to prove yourself. He's been consistent because he gets better and better each year. But then to be told, actually, oh, you know, you're going to be spearheading the RBs. Well, we know that RBs are the sister team to Red Bull. There is no other progression here. Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, 2025 will be Yuki Tsunoda's final season with RB, because there is no progression in that team now. Go somewhere else.
Well, and the Honda partnership is ending. Yeah. And look, I know that's also a common thing. And people are going to be like, oh, you two idiots, you don't understand. Like, I know that Yuki Tsunoda is in the team because of the Honda connection.
Yeah, 100%.
And that's fine. Liam Lawson has actually come through the Red Bull program. But let's still look at it on paper. Like, Yuki Tsunoda has more Grand Prix experience. He's not that much older. And he's beaten every single teammate he's been put up against, including Liam Lawson.
100%. Interestingly, do you know what the percentage of the 2025 F1 grid, which will be made up of former Red Bull juniors?
Can I say the drivers?
You can say the drivers.
Pierre Gasly.
Yep.
Yuki Tsunoda.
Yep.
Liam Lawson.
Yep.
Max Verstappen.
Yep.
Isaac Hadjar.
Yep.
Carlos Sainz.
Yep.
Wait. Alex Albon.
Alex Albon. One more.
Oh, sugar. I don't know the last one.
Jack Doohan.
Ah.
I never knew he went through that.
Very interesting.
But, so 40% of the 2025 F1 grid will be made up of former Red Bull juniors.
That's impressive, right? And that is also a testament
that is
to their program and, you know, I guess Helmut Marko and everything they're doing at that team is great, because there's a lot of really good drivers on there. Pierre Gasly, Alex Albon, Yuki Tsunoda, you know, Liam Lawson. Let's see how he does next season, but exciting talent. Jack Doohan, again, he's managed to get a seat. Carlos Sainz, Max Verstappen. I mean, that's a lot of talent to produce.
100%,
You know, if they were a football team, they would have made a lot of money.
Well, yeah, no, I agree. Do let us know what your thoughts are on that. You know, I still stand by it. Yuki should have been in that seat, but we move. Interestingly, the F1 2024 drivers have voted on who they believe to have been the best driver on the grid this year. Don't know if you've seen this. So,
is this the team principals?
No, there's team principals and the drivers as well. So they both voted.
So I saw the team principals one.
Yeah.
I'm speaking into my glass instead of my mic. Did you see that?
Is that what you did?
I was just speaking into that.
Are you still drunk?
It's been a long couple of days.
Yeah. So I'm going to tell you, obviously, number one, and then I want you to guess. I want to see how far you can go and see how many you can get. There's 10 here, okay? So 17 of the 20 drivers have voted Red Bull's Max Verstappen as a driver of the year. So he's number one. He's the same as last year.
17?
17.
Who are the other three? I think George Russell was one of
them. I don't know who the other three.
George Russell had him last.
Yeah, he had him last. Sergio Perez.
Doesn't say who voted for who.
No, I didn't get that bit. I should do more research, sorry.
Purely just for the Max Verstappen one. I just wanted to see.
I'll try and find it. I'll try and find out at some point later. Okay. Right, P2. This guy is up two places from the 2023 ranking.
Well, I would say Lando Norris.
Lando Norris. Number three, again, up two.
Charles Leclerc.
Yes. Number four, new entry. I feel like I'm doing like the top 40.
New entry. Maybe Oscar Piastri.
No. No.
Carlos Sainz.
Nope.
Right. Nico Hülkenberg.
No.
Running out of drivers here. George Russell?
George Russell. He wasn't even in the top 10 last year.
I mean, he did have a kind of a poor season last year. I don't think he warrants fourth place, personally, this year.
No, I agree with you on that one. P5, he's up three.
Carlos Sainz?
No.
Oh, Oscar Piastri.
Yeah.
Oscar Piastri.
Number six.
Then Carlos Sainz.
Yes. So same as he was last year. Up two in P7 is... I'm actually quite happy with this person.
Hülkenberg.
No.
Pierre Gasly. Yeah.
Number eight, new entry.
Hülkenberg.
Yes. Fully deserved, may I add. Number nine, down six from last year.
I mean, that's got to be Lewis.
No.
It's not Checo.
Nope.
Okay.
Checo's not even in the top 10.
Oh, Alonso.
Alonso, yeah.
So Alonso has been rated above Lewis.
And number 10 is down eight.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Lewis Hamilton. That's a bit of an insult, isn't it? If you've got Fernando Alonso, what's Fernando Alonso done? Lewis Hamilton has won two races this year.
Yeah. And look, this is... I'm not sitting here and saying... like
Fernando Alonso hasn't even been on a podium.
No, I mean, he's barely been, like, top 10. Lewis had a poor season, right? There's no point denying that. And I know the people that think, like, we're just purely Lewis lovers. We don't say anything about him. Like, Lewis had a poor season.
Yep.
Qualifying particularly poor. He also had some poor races. But he did also have some phenomenal races. Mm. And I think... for Fernando Alonso to be rated higher than Lewis Hamilton, that makes absolutely no sense to me.
No.
I completely get Pierre Gasly above him. I mean, Pierre Gasly and Nico Hülkenberg. Like, I get that. because you've also got to look circumstantially. Their cars are way worse than that Mercedes. And they pulled us some really good results. And Hulk in particular was very consistent the whole season. Gasly was consistent second half of the season. But we also know that Alpine brought an actual tractor to the start of the season. But to have Fernando Alonso there, is he paying people off?
It must be.
Because that makes no sense to me.
Do you want to do the top 10 drivers voted by team principals?
Yeah, this one I think I have more of an idea of.
Yep, so P1 Verstappen, P2
Lando,
P3
Charles,
P4
Oscar,
P5
Carlos,
P6
George,
P7
Hulk,
nope,
Lewis,
yep, P8
See, but then that I don't think Lewis should be seventh.
No, I would say, do you know what I did? Let's just finish this off. So P8 is
Hulk.
Yep. P9.
Gasly.
No.
Perez.
No.
No, he's not in there. Am I missing someone like fundamental? Alonso,
P9. And P10?
Hulk. Gasly.
Gasly. Sorry.
Yeah.
I personally think Gasly should be above Alonso.
And Lewis.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Look, you could even argue Hulkenberg above Lewis as well.
Yeah, I would say so. There's no point shying away from the fact that Lewis had a bad season. I mean,
We say he had a bad season. He had a better season than he has done in the last couple of years.
No, but he didn't.
Okay, maybe not 2023.
Yeah, yeah, but even... Okay, so I was actually looking at this. The W13 was actually the highest point scoring Mercedes of this, like per race on average, of this new generation of cars.
Really?
Yes. They averaged more points per race, which is this, like this was the lowest points, average points per race, the W15. Interesting, isn't it? Because obviously, in the W14, they actually had their best constructors finish, and Lewis nearly got P2 in the World Championship, but they didn't get a single race win all season. Yet you go to the W13, which is widely regarded as like the worst car in like, well, I guess Mercedes like high turbo hybrid era. Yeah. And that was actually their highest point scoring car on average in this new generation of cars, which blew my mind when I saw the stats.
Yeah.
And then this one, where Mercedes actually won 4 races, it's their lowest average point scoring car.
Is that true?
I saw it on Twitter. So it must
be true.
It's got to be true, though. No. Someone had actually like done each car. Maybe I saved it. Let me see it if I can pull it up. But I was looking at it and I just thought that is crazy. And all those different things where you think like last year was actually really peak. We didn't get a win, but Lewis had a really good season. But then this year you look at it, well, we got 2 Lewis wins. We got 2 George wins.
Yeah, you would think it'd be better, wouldn't you?
Yeah. It doesn't look like I saved it. But no, it really surprised me. I wish I had saved it because it would have been really useful.
Yeah, would have been. Do let us know. Who's your top 10 drivers for team principals and... actually, just top 10 drivers. This is an interesting one. So, F1 mechanic turned pundit Mark Priestley. Do you know this guy?
No, can't say I do.
So, Williams could be in the running to secure Max Verstappen's signature if he does decide to leave Red Bull. look, this F1 mechanic turned pundit, I don't
quite... What is this guy smoking?
I don't know.
I want
some. I cannot see Max Verstappen leaving Red Bull to go to Williams. Unless Williams have a phenomenal year next year, right? I cannot see that happening.
Do you realise how much of a good year Williams would have to have? No, it's... What's the quote? Do we have, like, the direct quote?
That is literally just what he says. Let me have a look.
Yeah, but has he got like any context behind it? Has he just said why? Or is that like me saying like I think Emily Ratajkowski might come to my house next week and try to have sex with me?
Where the hell did that come from?
It's just not going to happen. It's not true. I'm not... Like, maybe if she had DM'd me on Instagram...
And did she?
No. So if I said it, you'd be like, well, what makes you think that?
Or have you told Ruth?
No, she doesn't want to know. But you see, like, he's got to have some reasoning behind that.
Let me try and find it. Because it did make me laugh. Oh, this is annoying. Where did I find it?
You see, you're just having a go at me for not saving stuff.
Yeah,
and then
I
you
know.
Just pulled a bullshit quote with absolutely nothing to back it up. You could have just made that quote up.
Well, I didn't.
Where did you see it?
Well, this is where I'm trying to find it. I took it off
a really reputable website. Lad Bible, was it?
No.
Why don't you search the quote in Google?
Okay, that's a good point, that.
Fuck it.
Right. You keep talking.
I thought I was the stupid one.
Well, you are.
I don't know in what world that would be possible, because Williams have struggled for a long, long time.
Okay.
They haven't shown any promise this season. You know, I think what they've shown is that they're getting a bit more stability in their team. But in terms of performance, we didn't see that. We didn't see that progression. So I don't know why.
I've got it.
Yeah, okay, what's this?
So according to Priestley, Williams cannot be discounted from the shortlist of suitable landing spots along with teams like Mercedes. This is a really long word. He said, hang on a second. Look, I hate when it does this. The driver's market is so complicated at the moment because everyone is basing their move on the regulation changes in 2026. You have to choose a team you think will produce the best car. It could be a team like Williams. It's a tough call. If you're Max Verstappen, you'd look at McLaren, but they have two young drivers for years to come. Mercedes not at the top at the moment, but everyone knows they're a solid team and very good operators. We also know how Verstappen has a lot of talks with the likes of Mercedes.
So his rationale for this is that because we're coming into the regulations, new regulations in 2026, and you don't know who's going to be quickest, Max Verstappen might just pick the team that hasn't been quickest for about 25 years.
Well, he said you could also look at Williams, who under leadership of James Vowles building heavily towards 2026 with big expectations. I know for a fact they expect to compete right at the top. Oh my God, I hate when it does this. I know they expect to compete right at the top with the best teams on the grid. Maybe it's an opportunity for Verstappen. Who would hypothetically make way for Verstappen remains to be seen, but it is also known commodity to Alex Albon and Carlos Sainz, with both having partnered him in the past. In particular, the Spaniards' camp endured a fractious relationship with that one Red Bull driver when at Toro Rosso together. So, I mean, it's a very ad hoc quote.
It just sounds like...
Sorry, I know that was, for you guys who are listening, that was really painful. I do apologise. That wasn't meant to be that bad.
But it's just pure speculation, isn't it? It's like...
Hülkenberg's going to join...
Like, realistically, if you're Max Verstappen, right, and let's say you were thinking, okay, 2026, I'm ready for a new challenge. You know, Red Bull haven't shown a lot of promise towards the tail end of this. I mean, he still won a world championship. But let's say they have a really bad car next season. He's hearing whispers about it being good at other teams. You still base it off, like, previous performance, right?
Yeah.
You would still, at this point, look at Mercedes, Ferrari, McLaren, and potentially Aston Martin as the curveball, knowing that they're getting Adrian Newey. Mm. They have got huge investment, and they did actually not do bad if you go back to the start of the 2023 season. You're not going to go to Williams. That's not where your mind's going to go. Fair enough if they're throwing all their eggs into the 2026 basket, but it still means nothing.
No.
Like, it's not a risk you're going to take if you're at Red Bull. It's not a risk that Carlos Sainz would have taken had he not lost his seat at Ferrari. you know, Carlos Sainz wasn't sitting there thinking like, oh, I might fuck this place off and like move to Williams. He did that because he had a gun to his head.
Did he?
Well, like hypothetically, that was the scenario. So I don't think you'll see Max Verstappen at Williams.
We'll wait and see. Right, so Haas have scored more points this year than from 2020 and 2023 combined.
So yeah, it's almost like Günther Steiner was overrated.
Potentially. So this year they scored 58. In those other seasons, they scored 52. So, you know, Komatsu, and we've said on this podcast before, you know, we said at the beginning, we were a bit unsure about him when he took over. He has gone on and he's really stabilised that team really well. Mm-hmm. That team is running, you know, what he's done in that short amount of time. I know he's been there in the past, he's been there for a while anyway, but taking over that leadership role, he seems to have given them that stability. The sad thing for me is losing Hülkenberg, because I think he is a really fundamental part to Haas. K-Mag, yes, okay, his experience. But I feel obviously Ocon coming in and now Ollie Bearman, it is, I wouldn't say necessarily say a risk, but you've kind of, you've built those foundations with Hülkenberg and, you know, K-Mag, and now it's kind of, it's a bit unsure how it's going to go.
It would have been particularly nice for them to keep Hülkenberg.
Yeah.
I think you could have brought in either Ocon or Bearman alongside Hülkenberg.
Yeah.
That would have been probably the best scenario. But ultimately, you know, Hülkenberg's been brought into a bigger project, which is more exciting than Haas, let's be honest. You know, joining the Audi project, that is going to be cool.
Yeah.
And he's a German driver, a very famous German manufacturer. But for Haas, I don't think, you know, everyone loved Günther Steiner because he was a personality, right?
Yeah.
But the team was going absolutely nowhere. And Ayo Komatsu came in and changed the team like in the blink of an eye. And we saw towards the tail end of the season that actually they were really pushing through the midfield and even some races competing with the top boys.
They've been really consistent, haven't they? And I think, you know, there was times where you've looked at Haas over the years where they have a couple of good races and you think, oh, okay, they've kind of turned it around, and all of a sudden they don't do anything for many races. I know during that period you can say, well, they had the likes of Nikita Mazepin and Mick Schumacher, but actually that car just was the worst on the grid. It just wasn't performing. You could put...
Everyone gave them a get-out-of-jail-free card for 2021, right? Because the reason they didn't invest in that car is because 2022, new regulations, they're not a team that has like particularly a lot of money.
Yeah.
Well, it just didn't happen.
No.
It never happened for them off the back of that. And then they made the driver changes, you know, but the car's just been awful. So they made management changes and now it has turned around.
And maybe that's all they needed. They just needed that change of personality.
Yeah.
To move forward. But I'm excited to see what Haas can do. Obviously, we know the grid is going to get a bit more competitive. Obviously, Alpine will be better next year. Aston Martin, I'm sure that they will turn it around. So it is going to be more competitive next year. And but
Newey actually comes in next year, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So, look, I know there's a whole team. It's not just one man.
Yeah.
But he is a man that clearly understands these regulations very well. Because let's be honest, it's not gone well for Red Bull since he's left.
No.
You know, I know he's on garden leave or whatever, he's probably not now, but he's also built a huge amount of championship winning cars. The Aston Martin project is an exciting one, and that's why we won't go into the Lance Stroll debate, but it does sadden me that they don't have a really driven, passionate driver next to Fernando Alonso, because I think looking to 2025, more importantly 2026, they could be going places.
Okay, hypothetically, okay. Adrian Newey comes in. You've got Lance Stroll, Fernando Alonso. Lawrence Stroll, look, you know, Newey, we know you can build championship-winning cars. We want you to prioritise Lance Stroll.
Yeah, but
will Lance Stroll be winning the championship in that Aston Martin?
You can't build a championship-winning car for a driver that isn't capable of winning a championship.
Give me one reason why he's not capable of winning a championship.
his heart is not in it. He's just completely not in it. And look, ultimately, he's not good enough anyway to win a championship. It's as simple as that. You can disagree with me, fine. But I think the proof is in the pudding. You've seen enough of that.
I 100% agree with you. I can't disagree with you at all. Lance Stroll is a very good driver. He is not championship winning material.
They're all good drivers. Yeah. Look, if I went to race any one of these drivers on the grid, they'd cook smoked. Me. Mm. But they're not racing me. They're racing the likes of Lando Norris, Charles Leclerc, Lewis Hamilton, Max Verstappen. And Lance Stroll isn't fit to lace their racing boots. So, and that is just that. That's why he will never win a world championship. It doesn't matter. You could have stuck him in Jenson Button's brawn. He wouldn't have won it. Yeah, like, stick him in Lewis's W11. He doesn't win it.
Okay, all right. Max Verstappen's 2023 car. You put, take Max out, you put Lance Stroll in there. Is he winning the championship?
No, Perez wins it.
Do you think?
Yes. They were teammates at Racing Point.
Yeah, to be fair, I'd probably agree with you on that one.
And maybe Lewis wins the championship that season.
What, you think he would be that bad in it? With a rocket ship like that Red Bull was?
I
disagree with. I don't think Lewis would win the championship. Well, I mean, I think it would probably be Sergio Perez.
Lewis came P3. I mean, there's much more chance that Stroll and Perez are closer, so there's increased chances of collisions.
Yeah.
Nah,
Lance. Don't be so silly. Lance Stroll would just turn around. He goes, "Do you know what? I'm going in the gravel. I've had enough today."
Park up. Get the
keys out. Do let me know who would win out of Sergio Perez and Lance Stroll if they were in last year's Red Bull. Right. Most net positions gained in the 2024 season.
Okay, so I know the winner of this one.
With plus 55 is...
It's Lewis Hamilton, but what I will say is this is not a stat to be glorified. This is symbolic of a very poor...
Qualifying,
right? Now, it's very different if you're in there as like an Alex Albon, even a Pierre Gasly... Someone who's had a car that is just really not that good. And they've actually come race day, they've been able to cut their way through the pack. Lewis Hamilton being top of that list is not a good thing at all. No. You know, he should not be in the position where he's able to climb that list.
No.
So, yeah, I've seen some fans like shouting about it. It's not something to be proud of, and I don't want to see him anywhere near that list next season. I just want to see him top of the points table.
No, agree. Joel was second with plus 49. Leclerc plus 28. Sergio Perez plus 28. K-Mag plus 28. And Colapinto plus 24.
Wow, that's very impressive.
It is.
Considering he literally raced like...
Six races.
Yeah.
That is. Right, I've got another little quiz for you. So, back in 2020, all right? Have you seen this?
No, I haven't.
So, there are four drivers who raced for the same team in 2020 that are still racing for the same team now in 2025. Who are they?
In 2025?
Well, who will be racing? Let me redo it. Let me make it a bit more clear. So, in 2020... The F1 2020 driver lineup, there are four drivers who were in the lineup there that come 2025, they're still with the same team. Who are they?
I still feel like you butchered that again.
Yeah. Do you want me to do it again?
Max. Lando.
Yep.
Charles.
Yep. So, I suppose
Is there a trick one in here?
I suppose it is, because one of the teams was Racing Point, which is now Aston Martin.
Oh, so Lance Stroll.
Yeah. So that's mad, isn't it? This driver lineup. Okay, I'm gonna see how good your knowledge is here as well. So who was the driver lineup for Mercedes in 2020?
That was Lewis and Bottas.
Yep. Ferrari.
That was Leclerc and Vettel.
Yep. McLaren.
That was Lando and Sainz.
Yep. Racing Point.
Stroll and Perez.
Yep. Alpha Tauri or Toro Rosso, whatever they were at the time.
Pierre Gasly.
Yep.
Was Fiat still in the sport then? Yeah.
Yeah. Well done. Williams. You're doing good here, actually. I'm quite impressed.
It's crazy how, like, you just forget. Williams. George Russell.
Yep. And one of our best mates.
Latifi.
Yep. Haas.
Grosjean.
Yep.
And Magnussen.
Yeah. This is impressive. Can you see a reflection or something? Alfa Romeo.
Kimi Räikkönen and Giovinazzi.
Yeah, good. Renault.
Danny Rick.
Yep.
Fuck, who's the other?
You're three away from getting a full house here.
Yeah, Renault. I'll come back to the other Renault driver.
Okay, Red Bull.
Red Bull was Albon and Max.
Yeah. Okay, so there's one missing for Renault.
Oh, this is gonna bug me. I actually just don't. I don't know.
Let me tell you.
Well, I don't know. Like, I know it's wrong, but I'm thinking Robert Kubica. But I knew it was wrong.
That is wrong. Esteban Ocon.
Oh shit! Yeah, obviously. Like, obviously.
That's impressive. Well done. Impressive. Well done.
Like, Kubica didn't even race for Renault.
No. No, he didn't.
So I don't know why that's who I was thinking of, but it was the only thing I could think of.
Also, heading into 2025, there are three drivers that are older than 30. Who are they? And if you can tell me their age as well.
Okay. Fernando Alonso?
Yep.
Is he 41 or 42?
42.
42. Lewis Hamilton?
Yep.
39?
Yep.
It's mad. He's going to be 40 next year. Oh, the other. In their 30s. Oh, it's got to be Hulk.
Yep.
Probably 37,
okay. 37. It's mad. It's a very young grid next year.
It is. You know what? We have got an exciting grid next year. And I see a lot of people online talking shit about it, actually, saying that, oh, this is like one of the most underwhelming grids that we've had in a long time. One of, you know, because there's like basically not a lot of good drivers on it. And I think, well, actually, you've got a plethora of like very good drivers. Lewis, Max, Fernando, Lando, Oscar, Carlos Sainz, Charles Leclerc, George Russell. And then you've got, on the other end of the stick, actually really exciting rookies. Liam Lawson. You've got Kimi Antonelli, Jack Doohan, like
Bortoleto.
Yeah, like, do you know what I mean? Hadjar, Ollie Bearman, all these young people coming in.
But you can also say Hülkenberg, Gasly, you know, Ocon. You've got.
Oh, and you've got those experienced drivers who, you know, Hulk's gone to another team, Ocon's gone to another team, Carlos Sainz has gone to another team, Lewis Hamilton's gone to another team. I think next year is actually going to be one of the most exciting years we've had in a long time.
Yeah, I'm buzzing for next year. I think it gives you, we've got a bit of everything. And I think what's been really exciting, actually, as we've touched on many times in this podcast, watching more F2, seeing these drivers progress. And actually, what's been really exciting this year, Colapinto, everyone wrote him off when he first came in. He came in, did brilliantly.
He did crash a few times.
Yeah, but so did loads of other people.
True.
But, you know, these drivers have come in. And, you know, Ollie Bearman, he picked up points in Saudi Arabia, whether you say P7 or not. He picked up a point in Baku. Mm-hmm. We forget about that. Mm-hmm. You know, so these drivers coming in, it is exciting for the sport because these are the future. One of these drivers here from these rookies could be future world champions.
Yeah. Okay. Out of the rookies coming in this year, who do you think, if any of them are to win a world championship, who's going to be the first one? So obviously you've got Ollie Bearman, Jack Doohan, Kimi Antonelli, Liam Lawson, will class him as one.
Hadjar.
Isaac Hadjar. And I think that's it. Oh, and Bortoletto.
Yeah. I think... I would say Antonelli. And I'm not just saying that because he's there for Mercedes, but there must be something...
Well, I mean, just to confirm, we are no longer Mercedes fans.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not... Yeah. No, but what I mean is I'm not saying it's because he's in the top team as such. Yeah. When you look at all the teams, he's in the top one.
Whoa. Liam Lawson?
Yeah, but you classing him as a rookie, I'm really not, because I think he's been in the sport already. I don't really class him as one.
But he is officially an F1 driver, like, confirmed next season. I know he got given the seat to the end of the season this year, but I feel like it's fair to still say, come on, he is a rookie.
But I wouldn't class Colapinto now. Like, if he came back into sport, I wouldn't really class him because I think he's already done it. But anyway, for me, there must be something with Antonelli. I think when you're putting a 17-year-old, 18-year-old into a seat that early, they've got something about them. Mercedes are usually pretty good with their recruitment of juniors coming through. From what I've seen from Antonelli, he copes well under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very good driver. And I think out of all of those, Kimi Antonelli would be the one to go on and win a championship first. And I know people could say, well, you know, well, of course you're going to say that because Ollie Bearman's in a Haas or whatever. But I mean, if you're just talking about which one, you know, Ollie Bearman could be in a Ferrari in 2 years' time. You know, who knows? But I think Antonelli would be the one who would be most likely to be a champion out of their career.
Yeah. No, I get your point. I think, obviously, you're going to say either Antonelli or Liam Lawson at this point because they are best placed to go on and win a championship. But then I look at it the same. Okay, in a championship-winning car, who's taking it? George Russell or Antonelli? I mean, at this point, you've got to say George.
Yeah. Hard to say, isn't it?
The same goes for... you know, Liam Lawson's, if they've got a championship winning car at this point, he's got to go up against Max Verstappen. Mm. I think if you took all those drivers, you know what, the one I'm actually most excited to see next season is Bortoletto.
Yeah, no, I agree on that. I think we're probably more excited to see the drivers who we haven't actually seen so far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Antonelli, Bortoletto, Hadjar.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen Doohan already. I know it's only one race, but we've seen Doohan. We've seen Ollie Bearman. So for me to really see what Bortoletto is like, Hadjar.
I am also excited to see Lawson in that Red Bull.
Yeah.
I just think he's a rookie that is, you know, there's always been a little bit of hype around him. I want to see a young, hungry rookie going up against Max Verstappen.
Mm.
I think that's good. You know, we've had Perez, who was not a young, hungry rookie. You know, he was someone that definitely came in and wanted to win. And he did go head-to-head with Max on the occasion.
Yeah.
But this is different for Liam Lawson. This is, like, career-defining. Perez had his career. This is just a nice way to see it out. Yeah. So I think that's what I'm most excited to see next season, I think, alongside watching Bortoletto.
No, I agree. Right, we've asked for you guys to get in questions on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Got a couple of questions here. So, what race are we both going to be doing next year? well, we would like to do a race next year, wouldn't we, together? We'd like to actually go and get some content, and we still haven't decided. I still would like to do... We did mention Spain, didn't we?
Yeah.
Austria. We don't know yet. Potentially we're going to do a...
Monza would be a great one.
Monza's sold out.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me.
No.
If there are any brands out there that want to...
But, yeah. Potentially Spain, potentially Austria.
Yeah, we would definitely look to go to a race.
Yeah. And we've kind of touched on this, but how do you feel about next season with four rookies in F1 for 2025? I mean, we kind of touched on that, so hopefully that answered your question from that point of view.
Excited. It's exciting. It's not like we've lost all the good drivers. We've got bang average drivers and rookies. We've got such a wide variety, and I think it's just going to be exciting.
Yeah, I agree. Hopefully you've enjoyed this podcast. That is it. That is, what is that? That is still an hour, man.
Yeah.
You told me I'd be really quick, it'd be like 20 minutes. We don't. We just come on here and we just waffle.
I said like 40.
Yeah, we just come on here and we waffle. So hopefully you've enjoyed it. Just want to say again, Merry Christmas. Hope it's a good one for you all. We'll be back next week. Will that be before New Year?
I don't know.
How does it work on the calendar? That's the question. In theory, the 31st... Yeah, it would be before New Year.
That's when it comes out, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So there you go. You got a New Year's Eve episode. Look at us being consistent. So yeah, check us out on all social media. If you're watching on YouTube, hit a like button. Subscribe if you're new. We really appreciate it. And we'll be back next week for a brand new episode. But yeah, as again, Merry Christmas. As again.
He's really struggling this episode.
He's quite tired today.
Yeah,
quite tired. But yeah, have a good Christmas and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.